Society as a whole can only be emancipated by the dismantling of all government machinery and suppression of the state!
Alright, this one's called My First Erection. My first erection was in January 1973, going up Rathmines, home from school, on a 47B. For no apparent reason, it just started getting bigger and bigger, and all my mates, they began to snigger. This phenomenon was a total bloody mystery to me, because after all, I was only an innocent little school boy, you see. So naturally enough, I began to fret, because I wasn't too sure just how bigger we're going to get. Would it grow to be the size of a hippopotamus and burst forth from my trousers to crush and kill everybody on the bus? Or was it going to become an individual living being and go search for its fame and fortune and weight in gold? Or was it just going to bang, fucking explode and like kill lots of people? Or had it just fostered an ambition to be a shagging church steeple? Well, being a considerate little chap, caring and thoughtful and all of that, I began to worry about my fellow passengers. So I turned to the old lady sitting beside me, and this is what I said to her. I said, "Here, you better get out of the way. I don't know how big it's going to get." She looked at me funny and replied, "What?" I said, "You better get out of the way. I don't know how big it's going to get." She asked me, "Young man, are you being silly?" I said, "No, you old bat, it's my willy. You better get out of the way. I don't know how big it's going to get." Well, then she began to scream and shout, and this really, really freaked me out. I got all these images in my mind. Maybe I wasn't one of a kind. Maybe a similar thing had happened to her. Maybe a guy with an exploding willy in a bus had wiped out her entire family years before. Well, then the bus conductor came down and asked what all the commotion was about. She told him, he grabbed me, dangled me out of the back of the bus and fecked me out. And I had to walk home, and I was late back from school, and my mother asked me why, and I told her like a fool, and she bait me all around the house, up and down to me pants was coloured 40 shades of brown. But there's one thing I've learned since then, and that is, don't go pointing out to old boilers on a bus your knob's all hard ever again. And if you think this story sounds really, really sad, and you feel sorry for me, should have been there for me first orgasm. That was a total bleeding disaster, but that's another story. Alright, this one's called Drunken Contemplations. Wrote this one night after I got fecked out of Brooksells, like, and I was just arsing around the laneway. As I lie here, pissed out of my brains, large amounts of alcohol flowing through my veins, I cast my eyes up into the sky, and I realise just how puny and insignificant am I, an insignificant being on an insignificant world revolving around an insignificant sun, which after all is only one of countless billions in this galaxy. And how many other galaxies are there up there that I can and cannot see? How little I matter in the overall scheme of things. If I was to die right now, the world would not stop turning, the sun stop burning, those stars stop twinkling, and I am thinking there is not many who would stop and in grief sigh as they rush by on the ever-flowing river of life as it swiftly winds its way to dark, eternal, oblivious night. And I think, Jesus, there's got to be something more than all this shite. Yeah, there's got to be something more than all this shite. So now I'm thinking about it, and my brain's getting sore. This philosophy crap's far too heavy for me, I fear. I'm going back to the pub to drink some more beer. Yeah. Alright, this is one I wrote one night, Saturday night, in a jail cell in Mountjoy. I was stuck in with this loony who wanted to kill his wife once he got out of prison. I had 10 cigarettes and 6 matches, and it wasn't like shaping up to be a good weekend. It goes like this. Think about any old shit. Talk about any old shit. Read about any old shit. All in an effort to kill time. All in an effort to kill time. Breakfast at 8, out in the yard at 10. Dinner at 12, 2 out in the yard again. 4 get your tea, 5 watch TV. 7 in for the night, 10 out with that fucking light. Same old shit day in, day out. It's so depressing you could shout. You do the best to kill your time and tell yourself that you'll be fine. But on a Saturday night in your cell, your soul feels like it's in the bottom of a well. You feel so alone and left out, so all alone and forgotten about. Trying to kill time, longing to be free. Trying to kill time, but it's time that's killing me. Depressing, monotonous, dull, boring and colourless. Everything expected from dawn until dusk. No stimuli, no excitement, no purpose to life. You shite to eat, you eat the shite. Lonely, drab, dreary, like a voice-crushing brain. Like living in a limbo, driving me insane. This is prison. Walls, boundaries marking the extent of your world. This is prison, embitters the heart and deadens the soul. This is prison, one fucked up hole. Lonely, drab, dreary, like a voice-crushing brain, like living in a limbo, driving me insane. Trying to kill time, longing to be free. Trying to kill time, but it's time that's killing me. All right, this one goes out to David Irving. It's called The Holocaust Never Happened. The Holocaust never happened. 6 million Jews, never happened. 500,000 gypsies, never happened. 5.5 million miscellaneous, never happened. What nonsense, what raving, spouted by a dickhead called David Irving. He's a mild fascist, or so he says. A mild fascist. I mean, what the fuck is that? Is that like a mild case of AIDS? Or a mild case of death? Excuse me, are we talking the Second World War and millions of people butchered here? Or just trying to describe the severity of a case of bad breath or something? Yeah, the Holocaust never happened. Extermination facilities. What extermination facilities? All built after the war as tourist attractions. Yeah, right. Funland at Fullsbuttel. Disneyland at Dachau. Butlins at Bergen Belsen Bollocks. It all smells about as dodgy as a shit-filled pail. Come on, Davey, old codger, wake the fuck up. It's hardly a likely tale. Yeah, the Holocaust never happened. And the sky is green, and the fields are blue. And you are me, and I am you. And Attila the Hun was a mild-mannered lesbian rights activist and a card-carrying member of the Nana Mouskouri fan club, no doubt. Yeah, the Holocaust never happened. Davy, Porky Pies Irving, trying to hide the truth he knows a world will never bear. Davy, Porky Pies Irving, fascist loony perfecting the thousand-yard stare. Davy, Porky Pies Irving, the lights are on, but there's nobody there. All right, this one goes out to that old bollocks on the 62, you know who you are, and all his like. It's called Bus Driver's Pal. He's always arsing round up the front of the bus. He don't want to sit with the oi polloi. No, he's too good for the rest of us. So he sits up on the dash, throwing shapes, lording over all he observes, talking lots of wank and getting on my bleeding nerves. And every morning when I get on the bus, the old fecker's always there, with a copy of the stars sticking out of his arse. And he turns around and he gives me a stare, as if I were a beggar and he were a king. I mean, Jesus Christ almighty, I'd swear he owned it, the feckin' thing. And this is all because he reckons he's the bus driver's pal, fancies himself as the bus driver's mate. Yeah, he reckons he's the bus driver's pal, and he thinks he's fucking great. Yeah, he's the bus driver's pal, and he really thinks he's it. Well, I think he's an old tosser, and he's fucking full of shit. Okay, this one I wrote one time when I was trying to write a poem, and I couldn't, you know, I had writer's block, so I thought, hell, let's write a poem about that then, like, you know. So it's called Writer's Block, or the fancy title is The Golden Font Where Flow Creative Juices. It goes like this. Searching my mind, collecting my thoughts, nothing to say, nothing to say. Concrete mind block, it won't go away, I've nothing to say, nothing to say. Trying to think up words for another poem, I've been trying for so feckin' long. Fail to come up with ideas and words time after time, and when I do, I can't make the bastards rhyme. It's no good, there's nothing in my brain, I'll leave it for now, tomorrow try again. Bladder tinkling. I enter the toilet to go for a piss. Eureka! As golden shower cascades, I think of this. Right, now this one's short and sweet. It's just called Anarchy. And goes like this. Anarchy is the attitude, the doctrine based on the belief that centralized authoritarian governments are harmful and unnecessary, and society as a whole can only be emancipated by the dismantling of all government machinery and the suppression of the state. There you go. Party political broadcast. Alright, this one goes out to all the veggies, fair play to them. It's called Daisy Fought Back and Daisy Won. Daisy was a good cow, happy in her field. Producing lots of creamy milk, she always gave a damn good yield. Yes, Daisy was a good cow, one of the very best. Even used to shit in the same spot of grass all the time, so as not to spoil the rest. She gave her life to milk production. artificial insemination, cattle reproduction, and though she never got laid while she was alive, she still ended up the mother of five. Well, sadly, Daisy was getting on in years, and her milk production began to drop, I fear, so the farmer, he decided to get rid of her, bastard, went and sold her to an abattoir. Now, Daisy was a peaceful being, never one to hate. Subservience to the human race, she always regarded as, well, you know, her humble faith. But on that cold, grey, rainy Saturday afternoon, as the abattoir attendants dragged her from the cattle truck into the abattoir yard for the very first time in her life, Daisy's heart went ice cold and hard. She wanted so, so very much to live. She still felt life had a lot to give. Daisy sniffed the stench of death, the smell of fear, sensed the souls of thousands of murdered cattle embedded in the abattoir's atmosphere. She smelt the blood, guts, shit and piss, and she thought, moo, I'm not having this. Yeah, Daisy saw red. She wanted a kill. She saw blood. She wanted a spill. While kicking and gouging and breaking limbs, she made them all pay for their sins. Slashing with her horns and their skin, she left long bloody grooves and crushed their skulls beneath her hooves. Moo. Running from Daisy's wrath, the abattoir attendants shed large amounts of feces. Yeah, Daisy gave what for to the self-appointed master species. Out of the abattoir and down the street, here's one cow gonna be no man's meat. Into the forest, a desperado bovine on the run, but wild and free, cause Daisy fought back and Daisy won. Yeah, Daisy fought back and Daisy won. And you know, they never did find Daisy, and I'm so glad, cause I know so well she was born with a wild, free spirit, and she never was the type of cow to want to end up in some butcher shop as another piece of meat to buy and sell. And the young cows, they still talk about it in the back fields and the dark, shady corners of milking parlours all around the nation. They still talk about that cold, grey, rainy Saturday afternoon when old Daisy did what she has done. She fought back, and Daisy, that good old lovable black and white Frisian with the big floppy tits, she showed them all, and she fucking won. All right, this one's called Goodbye Ronnie, You Scared 40 Fucking Shades of Shit Out of Me. Wrote it years ago when Ronald Reagan left office. A lot of people say I should update it, have Bush or Clinton there, but nah, they weren't as classic as Ronnie, they just weren't as funny. I mean, could you imagine one of them like on the cover of Let Them Eat Jelly Beans? So here we go, as it was. Goodbye Ronnie, and thanks a lot. You didn't start World War III, but you gave it your best shot. Caused a lot of shit in Nicaragua by sending arms to those Contras. Now over the years, because of the things you've done and said, I've come to believe you're seriously fucked in the head. Now there's a lot of things wrong with this here world that really, really worry me. But the fact that a dumb fuck like you became the president of the United States of America scares 40 fucking shades of shit out of me. Now we got nuclear submarines cruising up and down the Irish Sea. That sends a shiver up my backbone, pretty much worries me. And as regards the devastation of our ozone layer, well, okay, I admit it, gives me quite a scare. And nuclear stockpiles and the arms race do cause my heart to quicken its pace. But of all the frightening things that I can see, the fact that a dumb fuck like you became the president of the United States of America scares 40 fucking shades of shit out of me. I mean, what the hell were the people of America on when they went and voted for fucked up Ron? Maybe each one of them's a comedy fan. And if you want to laugh, well, Ron's your man. Never failed to amuse me with his constant bumbling, political stumbling, lies, hypocrisy and excuses. He'd piss in our heads and tell us it's raining to try and spoof us. Such a funny joke, till the realization that it's not a joke dawns on me. Then I'm afraid I have to say the fact that a dumb fuck like you became the president of the USA scares 40 fucking shades of shit out of me. So goodbye, Ronnie, and thanks a lot. You didn't start World War III. In fact, Bush gave it a much better shot. Okay, this one's called I Would Have Liked to Have Seen a Dodo. I would have liked to have seen a dodo. I would have liked to have seen a dodo. I would have liked to have seen a dodo. I really would have liked to have seen a dodo. But I'm never gonna see a dodo. But I'm never gonna see a dodo. But I'm never gonna see a dodo. I'm never gonna see a dodo. Because a bunch of flippin' sailors in the 17th century killed off all the feathery little fuckers and stole that pleasure from me. They weren't thinking of future generations, and neither are we as we carry out mass extermination of the life forms that exist on this planet today. We kill another species off every single day. Which one of them's going to be the next to go? Will there be a really cool poet 100 years time from now that'll write a poem that'll go like so? I would have liked to seen an African elephant. I would have liked to seen a great blue whale. I would have liked to seen a white rhinoceros. I would have even settled for a robin redbreast. But I'm never going to see an African elephant. And I'm never going to see a great blue whale. And I'm never going to see a white rhinoceros. And I'm never even going to see a robin redbreast, because a bunch of feckers in the last century killed them all off and stole that pleasure from me. Then they went and burnt holes in my fucking ozone layer, giving me skin cancer. That's not fair. Dumping their nuclear shit all over that place. Is that why I've got these funny green bumps that shoot yellow pus all over my face? But even though this future vision of a poet is mad and sad and like this rhyming scheme really feckin' bad, the fact still remains that I would have liked to have seen a dodo. Yeah, I would have liked to have seen a dodo. Yeah, I would have liked to have seen a dodo. I really would have liked to have seen a dodo. I mean, would they have liked to have been friends with me? Would they have bred easy in captivity? How did they breed and how did they walk? And when they made a noise, did it sound like squawk? All these questions, answers never to be known, because to be quite honest, not an ounce of respect to the dodo was ever shown. Now once when I was in London to have some fun, I heard there was a dodo down in South Kensington. He was dead and stuffed, but what the hell, I went along to see him in the National History Museum, and I had to say, I thought he was looking rather sad, but if you'd been dead and stuffed for over 200 years, you'd be looking rather bad. And even though I knew it was way, way too late, when no one was looking, I had to inch closer to that glass cabinet and whisper, "Listen, I'm really sorry, you're extinct, mate." But the dodo continued to stare into space with an eye made of glass, just dead skin and feathers stretched over wire and placed on display for the viewer to pass. A mere shadow of a creature that once had been a real live dodo this day I hadn't seen. And as I walked by the brontosaur and out the door, I couldn't help but think of how I would have liked to have seen a dodo, of how I would have liked to have seen a dodo, of how I would have liked to have seen a dodo. I really would have liked to have seen a dodo. Yeah, I would have liked to have seen a dodo. I would have liked to have seen a dodo. I would have liked to have seen a dodo. I would have liked to have seen a dodo. I would have liked to have seen a dodo. I would have liked to have seen a dodo.